We all have those days. Sometimes we feel it a little more than others. Sometimes we have more bad days than others. But you can get through it because you are strong. We're all strong in our own way.
Welcome, and this is Far Betterment. Welcome and thank you for joining me for another episode of Far Betterment, the podcast where we learn new things about old friends and old things about new friends. In this episode, I'm joined by Zoe Bandemir. Zoe has many commonalities with myself, actually, except for the age. She's much younger. I'm an old man by now at 33, but she's suffered a lot of the same struggles with mental illness and things like that. But she taught me something very important. We all deal with these things in a different way. And even though I see a lot of commonalities, I can really understand what she meant by that. And I think I learned a valuable lesson from Zoe, and I thank her for that. So without further ado, here's Zoe Bandemir for Far Betterment. This is Andrew from Far Betterment. I was looking for Zoe.
Yep, that's me.
Hi, Zoe. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. It's nice to finally speak with you.
I know.
So why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself?
Yeah, what do you want to know? I just need to like know what kind of direction to go in.
Why don't you remind me a little bit about your background and stuff like that?
Okay, so my parents divorced at a young age. I don't even remember how young I was when they divorced, actually. And my dad had a child with a different woman, and my mom just remarried a couple years ago. So I have five siblings. Yeah, five. I have five siblings.
Are you close with? Are you close with all of them, or?
I'm close with them in my own way. I wouldn't say we're all like best friends, but we get along.
Well, that's always good. I can't say the same thing for myself and my brothers all the time, but they're family, yeah. So that's.
Yeah. Well, I'm not really close with my dad's side of the family. They're kind of. I don't know, they're just difficult to be around. So, in high school is when I really started to get depressed, and then it just kind of got worse from there. From, I don't really know from what, it's just, it did. Mm-hmm. And then a couple years ago, my mom finally was willing to help me, and it's been better, but I still had some hard times.
What kind of things have you found help you deal with that?
Well, I found that this kind of sounds horrible, but sometimes just crying it out is really nice.
I don't think that's horrible at all.
Cry out the emotion, you know, mm-hmm. trying to understand it. Just kind of release it all in your own way. And I found that when I'm really stressed, bathing my dogs really helps. I like to bathe them. Or sometimes just being by yourself, just to, I don't know, be away from everyone and all the problems is really helpful as well.
I can understand that. It sounds like we have a lot in common, actually. I also have severe depression, and being alone really helps me a lot sometimes, even though sometimes it makes things worse for a little while. In the end, it seems like it kind of helps me get out of those negative situations where I'm anxious or thinking everybody is thinking bad things about me, or you know how you get in your head a little bit.
Yeah, you can get lost in your head.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, crying it out, I don't think is horrible at all. People don't understand, but like that helps. It's a huge, huge release.
It does. It really does help.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I don't think you should think that's horrible at all. I think you should be very proud that you've found ways to deal with that, because it's hard for us to find ways to deal with it, especially. It's hard for people around us to deal with that also.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But
sometimes they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
It's hard.
And it can
how it was with my mom.
Really? Did she have a hard time trying to figure out?
Yeah, she had a hard time accepting it and helping me. But my dad was pretty understanding, because he's kind of in the same boat that I'm in.
Okay.
So.
Do you think, sorry, go ahead.
No, you can go ahead. Sorry, I was just babbling.
No, you're totally fine. Go ahead.
Yeah, my dad has he's been really helpful a lot. He knows the right stuff to say, even when you don't realize that you need to hear it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Type of thing.
Do you think has he gone through the same things? Does he have...
He's gone through similar things.
Okay.
But he... I don't know. It's just... It takes a lot for me to be suicidal, but it doesn't take a lot for me to become depressed. So when I'm in a really bad place, my dad is usually the one to help me through that.
So you have felt suicidal before?
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm very sorry to hear that, but I also understand that as well.
Yes. Actually, a few months ago, I did try to kill myself. Did not work, and it was pretty miserable, I'm not going to lie.
How did you feel after that?
I felt sick. Yeah. I looked awful. I think a lot of people could tell I wasn't feeling well. I don't know. It's like when you have a tummy ache, but like a million times worse. I was dizzy. I wanted to throw up. I couldn't stand. I was like really tired. I was just a mess.
Do you know? First of all, I'm glad that, you know, you made it. And
thank you.
No, absolutely. Me too. I think it's hard, because I've been in those situations myself, and, you know, had plans and, you know, written many notes and things like that. So I know that headspace, I guess. I know how hard it is to talk somebody out of it. But I'm glad that you're still here, and I'm glad that, you know, we get a chance to speak, because I think you have a lot to offer, people going through this and people who might think they're alone. 'Cause I think that's the important thing is, people like us, we really aren't alone. We might feel very isolated and very alone, but there are so many people like us. So that being said, is there something that you've learned from that experience about yourself that kind of makes you, you said you're glad you're still here. What was it that you learned about yourself that makes you glad you're still here?
Well, every time, it's kind of weird. I'm a little different than most people.
Okay.
I don't get suicidal ideations very often, and it takes a lot for me to get in that kind of space, because as a person, even though I'm a depressed person and I have my struggles, I don't ever want to die. I feel like a depressed person always has something they look forward to in life, since they have that one goal that they fight for. And I have that, and I have my cat, who really is a big help. Like, he is the reason that I want to live, because if I leave him, then he has no one, and that's the kind of, like, that's horrible to think about. Like, I don't want to leave him all by himself, you know?
Yeah. Well, that makes a lot of sense. Yeah. It's something, you know, it's a person, essentially.
To fight for.
Yeah, that you love. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of how it goes. Like, I don't ever want to die. So when I get in that headspace, I always try and get myself out of it. But then sometimes I just can't. My mind is too powerful and I just do those things. And then it's all up to my body to fight it. And that one time my body did fight it really hard. And even though it was miserable, I'm glad that I did that for myself.
Absolutely. Have you... It's hard to talk about. I know it's really hard for you to talk about. And
yeah.
And I...
Not easy.
What made you want to talk about it?
I just feel like sometimes people don't listen, and that sometimes you just want people to hear you, and that mm-hmm. you just need to understand, like, sometimes it's just good to know that there are other people who are going through the same thing as you are, and that if they're having the same ideas, to know what it's like to go through that, that it's okay to feel the way you're feeling. Because a lot of the time I feel like it's not okay to feel the way I feel. And I just want people to know that it is okay to feel this way.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And no one should make you try to change your feelings or make you feel bad that you're feeling that way. So,
what would you like to tell those people that might feel alone, or even like the people that make you feel like it's not okay? What would you like them to know?
Well, I would just, for the people who are going through the same thing, the one thing I wish someone told me when I was younger and struggling harder than I am now is that you need to find that one thing to fight for, whether it's your cat or your dream career. If you find that one thing, it will change everything for you, because you have something to look forward to, something to fight for. And that's been a game changer for me.
I think that's great advice. What would you say to, this is just playing devil's advocate here, but what would you say to people, because I've had this question asked to me, people who don't think they have that thing, or don't think they have that goal or that person?
Someone asked me that once, actually, and I don't remember when. I said, I don't know, sometimes, I'm trying to think, like, I don't know what you would say to someone who doesn't think that, that maybe right now they can't see it, but in the future they might.
I think that's...
That you just...
Sorry.
You just got to keep... You just got to look for it. You can't just look and then give up. You really got to... I think you really got to put yourself out there to find what you want in life.
I think that's incredibly... that's incredibly intelligent. And really self-aware. I think it took me until my 30s to figure that out. So I think you're ahead of the game so far.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I've found, speaking to a lot of people, I don't know if you know this, but I actually run a site for people who have, you know, mental health struggles, such as myself.
Oh, that's
and yourself.
Awesome.
And I have an Instagram where people like reach out to me, and I've spoken with a lot of people about this and tried to be like as blunt and open, honest as possible. And I think that over the years, it's been maybe 2 years now that I've spoken with people, it's been really encouraging to see people grow and figure that exact thing out for themselves, because I think it really has to be realized. It can't be told to you. It can't be taught. You have to realize it. And once you realize it, it kind of, like you said, it does help. It makes a big difference. But also the fact that we all really have a lot of commonalities between us, even just speaking with yourself. I mean, there's a large difference in age between us, but the way that we look at things and deal with things, I think, is very similar. And you talked about having a goal. I know that your cat is very, very important to you. And you're going to undergrad school, correct?
Yes, I'm going to UCCS. I'm getting my undergrad in biology with a minor in pre-veterinary sciences.
Okay, so you like animals a lot.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
I think that's a great purpose. Purpose is huge.
Thank you. Yes, I have loved animals my whole life. So.
What do you want to do with that?
I want to go to vet school, become a veterinarian, and help animals. And I hope in the future, too, with my vet degree, I can travel to other countries and rescue and rehome animals that aren't as fortunate as animals here in Colorado or in the States, kind of thing.
How did your family deal with, I know you said your mom was kind of standoffish, and your dad was pretty helpful. But what about your siblings?
Well, they kind of don't know what to say. They just are, I don't really know. They're just kind of like, yeah, they really just don't know what to say most of the time. They get kind of upset. Last December, after the day after Christmas, actually, I was in an accident, and they were really upset about that. They cried, and they're really glad I'm alive. Some of them are more emotional than others, so they just tend to cry and be grateful that I'm okay. Others just, they just don't know what to say.
Yeah. How do you feel when they don't know what to say?
Honestly, I don't get that hurt about it. Sometimes I prefer people not to say anything because a lot of the time people will say the wrong thing and you just don't want to hear that at the time.
Yeah.
So saying nothing is better than saying what you don't need to hear. So I'm actually pretty okay with that.
Yeah, I agree. People struggle to say things, and a lot of times it's it makes things worse and they don't mean to.
Yeah.
I totally agree with you. Do you think, like, what, this might be a hard question, but do you notice or recognize your triggers or what, like, make, like, do you, are you in a constant state of feeling depressed to where you're kind of used to it? I know I've been there before. Or is it kind of a ebb and flow where sometimes you're okay and then other times you're depressed, and during those times you recognize like any triggers? Or
it's actually crazy because my therapist and I talked about this today. I'm the kind of person that is, I'm like a flow, like you said. I have my good days and I have my bad days. I don't really have any control over those.
Okay.
It just kind of happens how it does. But when I'm having my bad days and my friends or like my family does something to make it worse, it tends to stick and just make my depression worse. I'm the type of person that if you make fun of me or like say something or do something, I tend to just let it roll off my back because I don't really care. I just laugh it off because that's just how I am. Like, I really don't take anything personally. I know that sometimes people will like make jokes about you because that's how they are. So it's like no need to take it personally, you know?
Yeah.
But when I'm depressed, like in a really bad depressed mood, when people do that type of stuff, it really tends to stick and it's harder for me to get over that. And it just kind of makes me more depressed. But I would say that's a trigger sometimes. Like, it can make things worse than they already are.
Why do you think that is?
I'm not quite sure. Sometimes, like I said, sometimes people say the wrong thing or they try to control how you're feeling. And when you're already feeling really crappy, that's the last thing that you want.
Yeah.
And you can't really, like, I don't know, it just makes you so angry. You just hold on to that anger and you just can't let it go.
Is anger a big part of your depression?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That kind of happened after my accident. I got more irritable and angry all the time, and it's just kind of stayed that way for almost a year and a half now.
Do you think that, first of all, how has therapy helped you? Do you think that, I'm a proponent of therapy for sure, but not everyone is.
Yeah, no, my therapist helped me a lot. After my accident, I was in a really bad place. And I, without her, I don't even think I would be here right now. So
she
really helped a lot.
So let's talk a little bit about your accident then, because it sounds like it's definitely affected mood and things like that. You want to tell us what happened? And
yeah, it's actually kind of easier to talk about now than it was a couple months ago.
So, okay.
The day after Christmas, not this year, last year. At 5 a.m., I was driving into work, and I slid on black ice on the highway, trying to get onto the highway. And I spun out and hit the median, and instead of hitting the brake, I hit the gas, which I didn't realize until, like, weeks after it happened. And I smashed the entire front end of my car, and I broke my hand trying to deflect the airbag from my face. And there was a dog in the car with me. He was my coworker's dog. So I don't know. I heard that when you're the driver and you have a passenger in the car, it's always worse because you'll always blame yourself for putting them in danger. Even though the accident wasn't my fault, I still feel really guilty that I put him in danger and he wasn't even my dog. Which has taken a lot for me to like get over. And like I said, sometimes people say the wrong thing. And that happened a lot after my accident. People blamed me. They said I shouldn't have been speeding or that I should have died because they saw pictures.
Oh, my gosh.
And, like, when you're, like, the people at the hospital said that. And that's just the kind of stuff you don't need to hear right after you survive something like that. But I heard a lot of it, and it just, it, I don't know, it really got to me. And I was so traumatized I couldn't sleep. So when I finally did fall asleep, the slightest noise would wake me up. So I had to sleep with my parents for weeks just to get over it. It was really, and it just, I already had depression by then, but this whole thing made it a million times worse. So it's been harder to get out of that kind of, but I've been doing really good and I'm really proud of myself for that.
Oh, absolutely. You should be. What do you think helped you the most? And when did you start noticing a change where you're starting to be able to deal with it a little better?
I would say when I started college this past year, and I definitely think my therapist helped a lot. My parents were extremely helpful, and my cat was super helpful. Whenever I was super stressed or crying, I would call my mom and she would help, or like talk to my dad and he would help. And snuggling with my cat made me feel better, like when he would lay on my chest and just comfort me.
Do you think...
Yeah, talking to my therapist.
Oh, that was going to be my next question, actually, was how therapy helped you cope. And I guess what I'm trying to get at is for others who've been through similar situations... to see the benefits of speaking, because I think a lot of times we hold things like this in, and I think that makes things a lot worse. You know, not that I'm an expert or anything, but I know personally holding things in was really detrimental and made me feel even worse about everything.
Yeah, it definitely does not help, but, something I find extremely helpful is talking to somebody and just letting them listen to you and not trying to tell you what to do. Sometimes it's just nice to have someone there listening to you and trying to point you in the right direction or giving you ideas to help cope or like help, like allowing you to just say what you need to say. And like writing it down and then trying to figure out a solution whenever you're ready, but not forcing it on you, not pushing you, just kind of taking your time. So sometimes you just need to let how you're feeling out. Like you said, it's not the best, like, hold it in. Sometimes you just need to let how you're feeling out. And I think a therapist is really good for that because they won't sit there and judge you or try to change you. But it, like I said, it depends on the therapist, because some therapists will try to tell you what to do. I was really fortunate to find a therapist who doesn't do that.
Do you, is this the only therapist you've had, or did you kind of like try multiple therapists, or did you just kind of get lucky the first time?
No, I did have another therapist previously, and she was not the greatest. So I asked my mom to find me a new one, and she did. And I've just been making some serious progress with this therapist that I have now.
That's crazy, because I think a lot of people don't realize that you can find a new therapist. I've had several that were not the best. You know, obviously they're experts in what they do, but sometimes they're just not the right match for you.
Totally. That's also a big thing. Like, if they're not the right match, then you're not going to like talk to them or confront them or tell them how you're feeling. You just won't be forthcoming with them.
Yeah. A trust is huge, with a therapist, especially.
Definitely. Just can't disagree with that.
This might be an odd question, but I'm interested to see what you have to say about it. Have you had a lot of people tell you, you know, think positive, or you're thinking too negatively and you need to change how you're thinking? And do you buy into that, or do you think that's kind of hard for somebody who's going through depression to hear?
I definitely heard things will get better. And I bought into that for a really long time, even though it never did. And then my therapist told me this one thing that has really helped me a lot, actually. She said, you can get through this because you are strong. Things might not get better, but you can get through it because you are strong. So that's really helped me a lot. Whenever I really depressed and I'm in a bad place, I just whisper that to myself, and it helps me feel better that things may be hard right now, but I can get through it because I am strong. Things might not get better, but I can make it through the night because I am strong, type of thing.
I really like that. I might use that for myself.
Go ahead. It's really helpful.
Yeah. I really like that. It's a really, introspective thing to say, I think. Do you, like, what's your opinion on those kind of like cliche sayings?
I mean, I'm not gonna tell everyone they're wrong, because for some people it might work, but I know that for me it doesn't, so I just kind of shrug it off. I'm like, you can tell me what you want, but I know you're not, you don't know what you're talking about, so I'm really not going to take it to heart, but I'll listen to them, but I won't, like, take their advice, I think.
Yeah, I think that's incredibly mature of you. Not all of us are that mature. I know, I've definitely chosen.
It takes a lot.
It
sometimes people know exactly how to get to you, and then you can't, like, get through that.
Yeah.
So
I know for myself that those things are kind of hard to hear. I can definitely relate to those people don't know what they're talking about, in a lot of cases. I wish I was as mature as you about it, because usually I'll choose a battle to fight and try to explain things to them. And, you know, that never works, because, like you said, they don't really understand. And not through, like, any fault of their own. They just don't have the same struggles or
perspective of you.
Yeah,
yeah, exactly. They just don't understand. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I'm already learning a lot from you. So thank you.
I just find it, you know, there are battles you know you can win, and there are some you just know you can't, and it's not worth your energy to try and fight them because you know you're not going to get through to them.
Yeah.
Type thing. So that's kind of how I look at it. If I challenge them, are they going to listen? Am I going to change how they feel? Probably not. So is it worth my time? I don't think so.
How have you dealt with like friendships and stuff going through this? I know, especially at that age, it's really hard to do, have depression and then deal with friendships or people getting upset with you or you getting upset with them.
That's actually crazy because I ended a friendship because she said that my depression was getting in the way of our friendship, that I never wanted to leave the house. I never wanted to hang out. I just wanted to stay in and lay down and be by myself. And instead of trying to like just be there for me, she just used it as an excuse to end our friendship. And that sucked, but I realizing that when we ended the friendship, how toxic it was and how much better it was that we both went our separate ways, and that sometimes your friends will try to compare themselves to you. And like, I don't know, this is something I've learned a lot these last couple of years, that they'll always try and make their symptoms worse than yours, or they'll make it up because they want to fit in with you. So I, as an individual, don't ever talk about how I'm feeling or my depression or anxiety or ADHD because I don't want people to be like, oh yeah, I know what that's like. Because even if they do have the same diagnosis as you, your emotions and your feelings are still different.
Mm-hmm.
So being told that they're exactly like yours kind of upsets you because we're all different. We're all going to feel things differently type thing. So I just never bring it up because I don't like when people tell me that at all.
Well, first of all, I want to apologize because I did that to you already. And, you know, it didn't even occur
totally
to me.
Fine.
No, no. You've taught me something.
Exact same thing,
you've taught me something, though. And I appreciate that because it's never occurred to me that that might, you know, affect somebody in that way. I've always said it to try to relate, and it never occurred to me that that might be offensive or, you know, so I want to apologize to you and thank you for teaching me that.
Yeah. Like you could say something like, yeah, I understand what that feels like. Like, I don't understand exactly what you feel, but mm-hmm. I probably felt something similar to that. And I'm sorry you're feeling that way. That's kind of how I say it to people. I'm like, or I'm just like, oh man, I'm sorry. Cause I don't want them to like challenge me.
Yeah. I see what you're saying. Yeah, no, I think that's important for people to remember because we don't realize that that can affect somebody negatively like that. So I'm glad you brought that up and said that. I truly am.
Therapist kind of brought that to my eyes as well, too.
I mean, it sounds like you have a great therapist.
He really is the best.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I wish I lived in Colorado.
Oh, man.
So I guess back to the friend. How did you get to the point where you're mature enough at your age? I mean, I don't mean to keep saying at your age. I mean, you can be mature at any age. But to be mature enough as a person, because a lot of us aren't, to recognize this toxicity and then just end the friendship because you know it's better for you. How do you get to that point?
Family. I am very protective over the people I love. So me and my sister were Irish twins, so we're really close. We started getting closer after we hit a little bump in the road, and she kind of got jealous of that, and she lashed out at me because of it, and she basically was making me choose between our friendship or being with my sister, and I don't tolerate that because Kira's my sister. I'll always choose her, and I will put in the same amount of effort being here that I would her, but she got too jealous and she was like, get in the way. And so in the end, I ended the friendship because I just was over it. And then I was so upset. I just realized like how she would always do what she wanted to do. And she never wanted to do anything I wanted to do, how I would always spend time with her, but she wouldn't make the same effort. Then she brought up my depression and made it seem like that's the whole reason our friendship wasn't working type thing. And I just realized it was time that we needed our own space to grow and mature and just go our own ways to find out who we are without each other.
Wow, that's really profound. I'm blown away. I wish I was as mature as you are. Have you had any family react negatively? Or it sounds like you have a pretty supportive family for the most part. But have you had any of them react negatively, and how did you deal with that, if you did?
So my dad's side of the family, they don't really believe in that stuff. They're the ones that always say, you know, things will get better. You just have to think positively. Like, you're never going to feel this way forever. Which, I mean, that's fair. I mean, you won't always feel this specific way forever, but you're never going to sometimes. And I don't think they understand that. They're the type of people that are just always happy. So when they encounter someone, they just don't believe it type thing.
Okay. That it can be kind of like wished or thought away.
Yeah, basically. They didn't believe my dad. They weren't really willing to help any of us.
Okay.
Which kind of sucked. It's either their way or no way, basically.
How do you keep going after you feel like that? How do you keep going after somebody says something like that to you? What keeps you from going back into that, you know, very low place?
My dad, I watched him my whole life, and they're his sisters that always do that and always bringing him down. He always stays strong because he just focuses on himself. And that's the kind of person that I want to be. I want to be the type of person that I get a lot of the like, traits from my father. That's why I'm really like, I can brush things off pretty easily. I just know that's why it comes back to the therapist. Like when you know that the way you're feeling is okay, that it's okay that you're feeling sad today because tomorrow you may not. And then the next day you might, and that's just how it is. And it's okay that it's that way. Everyone feels things differently type thing, you know?
Yeah.
That they may be happy doesn't mean you have to be happy. Just be your own person type thing. Live your own life. Be the best person that you can be. And even though it may be hard sometimes, just keep going because you have a really bright future type thing.
You talked a little bit about how your friend ended, or how you ended the friendship because she said you didn't want to go out and things like that. How has that affected your life as far as, because I think something people don't understand is that a lot of times it's, and I'm speaking for myself, the anxiety is what keeps you from going out and what keeps you from, you know, being in crowds or being around people. And there's some paranoia there where I feel that,
yeah, you
know, people are staring at me, or, and that makes me very anxious. And then I get depressed because I can't go out. You know, it's not that I don't want to, it's that I can't do it. You know, I don't know if that's the same for you. But if it is, how do you explain that to people? How do you let them know why you feel that way?
So it's actually crazy because when I get depressed, it's the type of thing where I don't want to get out of bed. And if I'm not motivated to get out of bed, I'm not motivated to do anything. I'll just stay there all day watching TV or listening to music or sleeping. And it makes me happy, but then you are sitting there for days and you just, your room gets messy and you just feel disgusting because you don't shower for days. And then when you're out of your slump, you have all this mess to clean up and you're just, it kind of makes you depressed again. You're just like, ugh, type thing. Mm-hmm. And I am also a very big introvert, so being in public makes me extremely tired. Like, my body gets exhausted. It's like I can feel myself getting irritated. So I can't go to the mall for very long or, like, go grocery shopping because too many people, too much interaction, and it makes me tired and cranky. So she always wanted to go to the mall, and I couldn't do that. But, mm-hmm. like, it's nice to find those friends who will be like, hey, I know you're an introvert, and I know being around people can make you depressed sometimes. And when you're not a people person like I am, you don't want to be around them all the time. So finding those people who are like, hey, do you want to hang out? Like, we can just go on a walk, just the two of us hanging out. Even though I'm depressed, it gives me a reason to get out of bed and not to, and it doesn't make me miserable because I'm not doing something I don't want to do. It's something I actually enjoy, just that one-on-one time with my good friend, talking, just doing our own thing, not having to interact with a bunch of people type thing. And she never really understood that. It was always kind of how she, what she wanted to do, not what I wanted to do. So I found some really good friends who are, they're more supportive and they're more flexible than she was.
So you basically made your circle smaller and I guess more conducive to the life you wanted.
Yeah.
Okay. I think that's great for people to hear. I think people need to realize that it's very hard to be depressed and have lots of friends because a lot of people don't understand. Having lots of friends a lot of times doesn't necessarily solve anything. And that's
no.
really hard to understand. I know you did talk a little bit over private message about some of the struggles you had in school. How did that affect you? Because it sounds like you graduated and started college and it sounds like you're thriving.
Oh, not
there.
Easily.
Okay.
That's for sure.
Let's talk about that then.
So during my sophomore year is kind of what triggered the depression. My friends kind of started leaving me out and not inviting me to stuff and just kind of cutting me out of the friend group. And it made me sad.
Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of when it all started. And then I was pretty okay. I just had no friends in high school. I just kind of hung out by myself in my own thing, which was fine because I really didn't care. It was kind of that I was too depressed to care about anyone, even myself. So I'm not going to care about what a bunch of people think about me type thing.
Okay.
And then my senior year was rough near the end because my accident happened. And then I was struggling with all that stuff mentally. And then the stress of school really got to me. And that's kind of, we had the suicidal ideation that kind of started it all. And then my mom was like dragging me to the end of the school year. And then I did it. I passed all my classes really well. I made it into my first year of college. And I did really well in my first year of college. And I was really proud of myself. College is not as easy as it sounds, but it definitely isn't as hard as people make it out to be. You get to make your own schedule as long as you put in the time and the effort. The teachers will help you. And it's a lot of putting yourself first, being your own advocate. Not having your parents there is kind of something that needs to get used to, but it's nothing like anyone makes it out to seem. It's something you have to go through yourself to kind of understand it. But being in college never made me super depressed. I mean, I definitely had my ups and downs like I always do, but I wasn't ever stressed out to the point where I felt like I wanted to die type thing. It was just I think it was a really good year for me to grow as a person, to find who I am. And yeah, it was really, wasn't that bad actually.
What's the best part about it? College, that is, sorry.
Just how different it is from high school. I know that's kind of like a weird thing to say, but like you get to do your own thing. There's no rules. So it's harder, but like in a way it's easier, and it's a really great way to grow and just experience and learn some stuff.
I think that's pretty, kind of keep using this word mature, but it really is. It's really incredible that you found this way to like, cope and thrive in these social situations that before might have made you anxious or, might've triggered a depressive state. Did you ever have troubles in school with like, I know you said that your friends were kind of like cutting you out and stuff and you seem to have dealt with that as well as you could have. Did you ever find like it hard to make friends in college, or has that been a little bit easier?
Well, after what my friends did to me in high school, I was afraid to put myself out there.
Mm-hmm.
And I wasn't willing. I had, after what I went through with all my friends in school and with my best friend who did that to me, I had severe trust issues with people. So I really wouldn't put in the effort or put myself out there to make any friends. And then I did make some friends. I mean, for some people, it's really easy. You just, once I did put myself out there, it wasn't that bad, but like, I still had trust issues, and I wasn't just going to trust them right off the bat or be their best buds. Like, I took a long time to warm up to them type thing.
Mm-hmm.
But it's more like, I don't know, it's kind of weird. They kind of like fell in my lap type thing. So I put myself out there. I made it. It was really hard for me to do that, to like let some new people in. But once I did, it was really nice because they were there for me. They care about me. They're just really great people.
How do you decide who to trust? What gauge do you use?
I feel like it's kind of, I don't know, I've never dated anyone before, but I feel like it's kind of the same thing. Like, you just got to get to know someone. Kind of figure out who they are as a person, like what triggers them, how they interact with like people around them type thing. And then you start to like open up yourself, and then, I don't know, it just kind of goes from there.
It sounds like you've grown quite a bit in a very, very short time. How do you see yourself now compared to over the last, I don't know, sounds like this all started about 3-4 years ago.
I see myself very different, that's for sure. I don't feel like I'm in as bad of a place as I was a year ago. And I definitely don't feel like I'm the same person that I was when I let my friends take advantage of me and break my heart pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And I definitely think I'm more cautious with the people I choose to let into my life and to let care about me or to care about myself. And yeah, I think I've definitely grown a lot for sure.
What would you have liked your past self to know that maybe would have helped you?
I don't know. It's always hard to think about that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Like, what would you tell your past self? I guess I would just tell myself the same thing I tell myself now, that even though you may not think right now that you, that things will get better or that things will, won't be this bad, you'll find some happiness. You'll make new friends who will treat you the way that your past friends treated you, and that you made it into college even though at one point you didn't think you would, type thing. Like, don't give up because you're stronger than you think you are.
And you'll get through this.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's perfect. You know, we're just about out of time here, but I wanted to give you the opportunity to tell, and I know you did a little bit about, you know, a little bit of this a little earlier, but to kind of make people understand where you're coming from and to offer, I don't know, advice or ways to get through things for those that are suffering from depression or anxiety or, you know, any other mental, I don't want to call them disorders or disabilities or, you know, illness. I hate doing that. I guess disorder is the best word. So for those suffering through any mental disorder, I guess I kind of want to just give you the opportunity to speak to them.
To not label yourself like that.
Mm-hmm.
Because some days you're going to feel really good and some days you're not. And we all have those days. Sometimes we feel it a little more than others. Sometimes we have more bad days than others. But you can get through it because you are strong. We're all strong in our own way. And there's always something to fight for, even when you don't know what it is and you're still fighting for it, type thing. And then one day you'll figure it out and then you'll be like, I'm so glad that I did because I can't wait to see what I do with my life, type thing. That don't label yourself as just a depressed person because that's not all you are. You can also be a kind person and you can also be a person who has a lot of friends and who believes in God. You're not just what your depression makes you. You're more than that. But you should not let your disorders define who you are because that's not who you are.
And what would you say to those that maybe don't have a grasp on how serious these things can be or how much their words actually do affect us? What would you say to them?
Just to, like, I don't know, maybe to put themselves in our shoes to, like, see maybe how, like, where we're coming from and, like, how we're feeling, that we don't all feel things the same, that we're all different, we're all human, we all feel things differently, you know? So don't try to make someone feel better or make them feel lesser than you because you aren't feeling the same way they are. Like, that's not fair to them, it's not fair to you. And you should just be a little bit more empathic.
That's absolutely such a great way to put things.
Thank you.
No, thank you. Thank you for being on and speaking with me.
Yeah.
And I think that you have a really beautiful way of explaining yourself and explaining the things you've gone through. And I think you explain them in a way that people who haven't gone through them will grasp better, at least, those experiences and struggles. So I think you've done an amazing job of explaining that to everybody. So thank you for that. And that's from myself as well. You have a really eloquent way of putting things in a way that I wish I could or did or have. So thank you for that.
Oh, yeah, no problem. Thank you for listening to me.
Of course, you have a really important story to tell, and I am extremely honored that you chose to tell it here.
Yeah, of course.
And that concludes another episode of Far Betterment. Thank you to all my listeners. Thank you to all my subscribers. And thank you to everybody who's rated the podcast so far. If you haven't subscribed, you can find us on Spotify, Stitcher, Google Play, Apple, anywhere that you listen to podcasts, including where you're listening to podcasts right now. And please, please don't forget to give us a 5-star rating. It helps us tremendously. I can't tell you how much it helps us. If you want to give us anything less than 5 stars, please don't. There's really no reason.